The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
Cloaked in secrecy, they show up without warning. State their business, then vanish as quickly as they appear.
Are you ready for the sex girls?
Not that I believe in it, but I could see that. But these guys are dumb.
Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Blast off.
Ooh, that was hot. That came in hot.
Fired up, dude.
Oh. Well, it's hot. I'm hot. I mean, you know what I mean.
Pretty hot, dude. It's my buddy Kyle. He's hot.
Chicks all like hot dudes. Mm-hmm. Get a load of this fella. I could never do, like, I could never wingman.
Me neither. I can't do it for myself.
Yeah, I can't, like, listen,
you got to meet my friend.
Yeah, I know I look like a wet hot dog, but my buddy,
my buddy knows a lot about Led Zeppelin.
He's really good at fucking. I got no pitch on it.
Yeah, I was never a wingman.
I just wasn't like, I just wasn't a dude, like, I'm not trying to virtue signal, but I was like, just to see what, like, women would go through at bars, like, and I'm going to be the next guy, like, hey, I'm going to get you drunk. It was always like, it was like three or four eye contacts across the bar, then maybe like, I'd like make an awkward smile and feel like an idiot.
Here's a fun fact about me. In all my years, I'm pretty sure I have never purchased a drink for a woman that I didn't previously know. Like, you know, I'll buy my date a drink or, you know, if I'm hanging out with a female friend or what, but I've never just, hey, lady, I don't know. How about I buy you a drink?
Yeah, I've never done that.
I'm morally opposed to that. No, I'm not going to do that.
It always went back to Kids in the Hall. Do you ever watch Kids in the Hall?
Uh-huh.
Remember when Bruce McCullough would play Cabbage Head?
No.
He was just a real slimy dude that had cabbage on his head. That's the dumbest.
Is that why they called him Cabbage?
That was it. That's all it was. And he was just a real creep with a cigar. And he's like, send a basket of fries over that blonde at table 7. Like I said, I always think of that whenever it's like, yeah, send her a drink. I don't want it. Yeah. Times have changed. Are you on Tinder, Dave?
Nah, never been on Tinder.
No?
Yeah, got no use for it.
Okay, Cupid.
I'm not on any of that. No dating sites till I get out of the van.
Till there's an address.
I mean, seriously, what's the point? Could you imagine?
Where do I live? Anywhere, babe. Anywhere.
Yeah, I've never bought a lady a drink, but I have always wanted to do this. You know how, like, in the mafia movies, Goodfellas or Sopranos or something, if two acquaintances just show up at the same restaurant, not together, but like they look across across the dining room and, oh, I know that guy. And then they summon the waiter over and they're like, hey, bring Mr. Kinane a bottle of wine.
And then
they present it and then the waiter points to the guy who sent it and then they kind of wave at each other. I've always wanted to do that with just soda.
You haven't seen, that hasn't happened at Carl's Jr.
I always just send you a big gulp from across the room and just kind of raise a glass.
Yeah. Do that at 7-Eleven.
Or like some of the dine-in Pizza
Get
Huts.
My friend a Diet Sprite.
Some of the dine-in, you know, there's still Pizza Huts.
Oh, yeah.
That you can.
There's one in Koreatown. Mm-hmm. It's a church now.
Yeah.
I love seeing what businesses were. Like, I know that was a Pizza Hut,
yeah.
And now it's a Korean Christian church.
But they'll still have the cooler of the refrigerator of 2-liter sodas. Just send over a 2-liter of Mountain Dew.
Just the towel.
Wrapped
the towel over the arm.
Compliments of Mr. Stone. Did you give me a wave and I wave back?
I used to love the sandwiches they had at Pizza Hut. My mom would get pissed. We'd go to sit down at a Pizza Hut, which seemed counterintuitive. Like, we're going out to eat. We're like, yay, where? Pizza Hut. Like, God damn it.
I like a sit-down pizza joint, you know, because
I like a sit-down. Yeah, pizza parlor.
It's always synonymous with, like, takeout or delivery. But
yeah,
I like
to
go into a pizza restaurant.
When it's on the little table in front of you, it's, you know, up above. Like, everybody's getting a slice. Everybody's having a good time. It's communal. There you go.
I don't remember the sandwiches, though. Tell me about these sandwiches.
Yeah, it was a short-lived thing. My mom would always get pissed because we'd go there. I'm like, I want a sandwich. It's like, we're at Pizza Hut. Get pizza. I'm like, but they got sandwiches.
Like,
they were just like real oily Italian sandwiches that they would like oven toast.
Because Domino's is still doing that. And those are pretty solid. Domino's sandwiches aren't bad.
Domino's, like, for a second there, got its head above water, like, we're trying to do better. And then they just sank.
I don't mind those sandwiches, though.
They were... I got a... You ever have a Godmother sandwich from Bay Cities?
I've never been to Bay City.
So it's like, it's always listed as like one of the top sandwiches in LA.
Okay.
And I go, it's in Santa Monica, so it's a pain in the ass, but I'd be over there anyway. I'm like, well, I'll make it worthwhile. And I got it, and it's like, this is just, you know what it is? There's no Italian delis in LA that are like they're there, but they're like, you shouldn't have to travel for an Italian deli. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, it should just be like, I want a sandwich. Oh, there you go. There's a deli, and you could just get a good sandwich where they shave all the meat off in there and everything. And this is like, it's like all the Boar's Head stuff, which is a solid grip of meat. But I was eating it. It was good. But I was like, oh, yeah, this is just what a sandwich is anywhere in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But there's like, this is the best sandwich you could get in L.A. And like, nah, L.A.'s pretty lackluster with the Italian delis.
That's
Unforch.
True.
Unforch.
Unforch.
Tony's over in Burbank was all right. I like them. They do a thing where they just cut the bread in three pieces. So there's a middle, like, Big Mac-type slice. It's unnecessary, but I like it. It's a little treat.
It's the place we were talking about with the big, chunky tomatoes and the pickle relish and...
Jersey Mike's?
No, Carmelita's or I don't know. There's one right next to Bigfoot Lodge.
Giamella's.
Giamella's.
Yeah. Giamella's. They make a big cheap sandwich.
Yeah.
Filled with filled with some.
It's pretty solid. Then there's a Mr. Submarine or something like that.
Yeah, we talked about them. Yeah, they make
is it Mr. Submarine or something?
Submarine King.
Submarine King or something.
Yeah, Mr. Submarine's a chain.
Okay.
Submarine King over in Burbank by the Nickelodeon Studios. There was always a little Asian woman. She'd bow after she gave me the sandwiches, and I felt racist because I liked that. It wasn't a subservient thing. I'd be like, oh, well, thank you. And then there was a bowing thing going on. I'm like, you shouldn't do that after the sandwich because now I'm bowing at you.
Is it okay to bow back?
I don't fucking know.
I mean, even though that's not in my custom, you gave it to me, so I
well, in their custom, they don't make submarine sandwiches, but then here we are.
But I'm saying, are you a poser? Is it disrespectful to bow back? Like, it might be bad if you initiate the bow. That's racist. But if a Asian lady bows at me, am I allowed to bow back?
I'd say give it a whirl. Yeah, get out there. Bow the fuck out of it.
My technique's off.
Just don't go too far, you know. Then you look sarcastic. But I like, that's what I always felt like. I didn't feel like that was just like, oh, they're just like these the sweet little Asian lady gives you money. She's like, thank you, and then she bows, and I'm like, well, you shouldn't have to do that. But if it's just a sign of gratitude, I'm like, well, thank you very much, and I appreciate it, and I like that they're just like sweet little Asian ladies that make killer sub sandwiches.
There's a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode about that, about an Asian guy bows at Larry, and then later, you know, he didn't quite know what to do, and he was talking to another Asian friend, and they determined that that initial bow was kind of a flippant, disrespectful, half-ass bow.
Oh, really?
And then Larry addressed it like, I was told that, he's like, what are you talking about?
Then he did a Larry David thing?
Yeah.
Then Larry David did a Larry David thing?
Speaking of which, coming back, season 9, October. Very excited.
Never seen an episode. I know. I'm not saying it like I'm proud.
You've never seen an episode of Curb?
It is shocking the things that I have just totally missed in my life.
Dude.
Yeah, I know. I'm not like, ooh, look at me. I'm not proud of it. I just, comedies, I don't seek out comedies.
Neither do I, but there's a short list of like really premium comedies. And
I know there. Curb is on. I know, and I haven't seen Veep.
I've seen Veep.
Bit, I've and seen everybody a little talks. Bit. Everybody praises it. Mm-hmm. People in the comedy community, in the inside comedy community, praise it.
Yeah.
I haven't missed an episode. Well, now I got rid of cable. I've seen every episode of whatever those Street Outlaws, fucking idiots. Seen all of those.
That seems about right.
Yeah, well, hey, man. What do you want out of me? I didn't promise you the fucking moon. Well, that's the whiskey talking. I didn't promise you the goddamn moon.
Well, if I come over one day and pick out a couple episodes, will you watch them? I think you would enjoy it.
We'll have a little TV date.
Yeah, we'll binge.
We'll have a little TV. Well, on a nice rainy day.
We'll curb and chill.
When it's not 90 degrees and everything's on fire. We'll wait for a rainy day in Los Angeles, Dave. You know what I did watch on Netflix? This is what I want to talk about. It's called Extraordinary, the Stan Romanek story. It's a documentary. Like, this guy apparently just has heaps and heaps of evidence that he's been contacted by aliens.
Yeah, you told me about this.
Yeah, and so I'm like, oh, I'll start watching this.
Okay.
And some of it, like, it starts off, like, who makes this shit? Who makes the documentaries where I'm like, all right, some, it's just, again, it's a guy with a bunch of blurry footage of lights in the sky, as it always is. But then it quickly goes to, clearly you bought a Halloween mask of an alien and put it on a broomstick and have somebody, like, dipping it into your window. Like, the slowest, really? Like, it coming inside, what, like a you can't do that on television sketch.
I think I've seen that video.
And it's so fucking dumb. And I'm like, this guy's got to die. This guy's on Netflix. I couldn't get my comedy specials on goddamn Netflix. But this fucking idiot, and then I look him up, arrested on child porn. Like, oh. It's like, I'm like, who's this guy? I need to know more about him. Arrested, and of course, it's like, no, man, it's the CIA planted that on my computer. Yeah, that's the CIA wants to shut you up. But which is a viable technique, mm-hmm. if you were getting too close to something. But motherfucker, you clearly just have alien Halloween masks that you are dangling in front of cameras. It's really? So hokey.
It's that obvious?
Yeah. And then it's like, yeah, you're fucking kids, dude. Whoa. Ooh, that one got going. Mm. Picked up speed.
Sorry about that.
I need to change gears in that one.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's all right.
Carry on.
It happens. No, that was it. I was just like, yeah, I do that. That would be a technique. Well, that was the whole the Pizzagate bullshit. Oh, child porn, and that automatically, that's the last taboo of anything you can do. Like, everything else is still kind of, you know, not justifiable, but it's like,
yeah, that's the worst.
Anything thing. With kids is like, nope, that's it. You're done.
Yeah, and it's one of those, like, even if you're completely innocent, just having that attached to your name once, you know, once that gets in people's brain of like, oh, did he or didn't he? I don't remember, but I now associate that guy with that crime.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Well, this weirdo, Stan Romanek, knows. Maybe it's because little naked kids look like aliens, you know? maybe that's his only defense. They're just, you know, their heads are already big, even though they're little. Got to mute them messages.
I thought I did. I'm sorry about that.
It's a mute button. You got to press a mute button.
What else going on, man?
I haven't been doing anything, man.
Nope.
Nothing. I'm still, was I talking about, I'm still trying to control my road rage, working on personal meditation. And I'm trying. It's going to get dangerous, so I'm trying to just be more calm, handle stuff. It was a pretty uneventful week. Went out, did some shows, kicked around, walked around a neighborhood. Like, again, I'm not an exciting person, man.
That's true.
I went to the witch bookstore.
Oh yeah,
in Hollywood, I went to Pan Pipes.
Okay,
well that does lead into what we're going to talk about later. So I was looking for a satanic Bible. And I also was wondering if you bought a satanic Bible, if you bought it online, if you bought a used one, would it have energy to it? And then I went to the bookstore, and there's a witchy looking woman in there.
Huh?
You know,
a witchy woman.
Yeah, not more goth than Stevie Nicks, but. They had a encyclopedia of the occult, and that was used, and I bought that. I'm like, is there any kind of energy that comes along with the books? And she's like, well, I got this heap of books from a guy who's going to prison, but there's nothing, no vibes on them. I'm like, oh, just occult books from a guy going to jail, and there's no vibes on them?
Why'd he go to jail?
Yeah. I was wondering, how is he coming back? Is he wanting back? Is he going to be out in 6 to 8? What does he need?
Yeah.
So, I didn't know. I wanted to read about Satanism, which we'll get to. That's what, that's where... talking about, and I've been watching The Untold History of the United States. That's what I've been watching.
Oh, yeah, the Oliver Stone
from
thing?
5 years ago.
Is that good? I haven't seen that yet.
I guess I don't know anything about history, and I feel like I should, and so I'm going to only learn it from a totally left-leaning, editorialized version.
I love JFK. I love that movie, even though I know it's factually... Assume it's factually incorrect, but
yeah,
it's still he did a good job with that. I mean, other than bending the narrative to suit his
to make it Conspiratorial.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did, well, I just didn't know, like, how World War II, like, you know, the real roots of it and how it started with, you know, U.S. holding out until the last minute and Russia really being the ones that fought and lost the most people in it. And because, you know, growing up in the 80s, you only know, like, oh, Russians are the enemy.
Yeah.
And you realize, like, oh, they're the ones that took the most shit during World War II, like, took the brunt of it and everything they were fighting on. You know, it was very interesting. And then I was thinking more about Hitler and about how it's all coming out that he was on methamphetamines. And that makes me believe, of course, well, then of course they were doing occult shit because he's a meth head. And that's what happens when you're a maniac. Like, whoa, yeah, and then we're going to take over the world. And then we're going to contact the aliens. And they're going to help us with the ghosts. And we're going to, like, that's just a meth head talking. But how come he was a meth head that at one point was conquering most of Europe, and the rest of the meth heads live under the bridge down the street here?
That's true.
Like, what?
He may
what was the focus?
Tunneled his way to Argentina as well.
I think that, yeah, just dug it by hand. I'm getting out, guys. we'll get it done. Don't worry.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so I was thinking about that. But I've been watching that. I've been pretty mellow. Not an adventurous week. Had a couple nights where I got drunk. Yeah. Typical Canaan shit.
I hear you.
What about yourself, Dave?
Had a good week. Man, I really try to... I don't know, man. I'm running into a lot of shitheads lately.
Yeah, well, we live in Los Angeles.
Well, that too. And I think my problem is... it's starting to get to me. Like, everywhere I turn, I'm running into morons and shitheads.
Yeah.
And I figured out my problem is I'm always in public.
Well...
I'm in public 24 hours a day. I never have a place to retreat to, you know. Even when I'm at home, I'm in public in my van.
That's... Yeah, dude, you got no...
Yeah.
Chill-out spot. You got no privacy.
Got no chill-out spot, so I'm just constantly running into idiots. I had an encounter 2 days ago.
Wow.
I'm at the car wash. I'm at the do-it-yourself car wash, trying to make the thing look pretty for my DoorDash.
Washing your house.
And washing the house. And I'm vacuuming it out. And behind me is a guy vacuuming his dumb little car, and he's got a girlfriend or wife or something. Guy's probably mid-20s. Girl was about mid-20s. And I didn't pay any attention to it, but I guess they were having an argument or something because out of my peripheral, I see the guy just take a glass bottle of some sort and smash it on the ground. And it startled me, and glass went everywhere. So I turn around and I look, and I can see him jawing at her. I can't really hear a whole lot because both my vacuum cleaner's on, his vacuum cleaner's on. But you can kind of tell they're jawing at each other. But he takes this, and later I determined it was an empty perfume bottle because it had like a little metal sprayer thing. Yeah. But it was like, I don't know, 8 ounce, 10 ounce, big, hardy glass bottle that he just shattered on the ground.
A lot of designer bottles in the perfume.
Yeah. So, you know, I leave it alone for a few seconds, and a few minutes pass, and I notice that all the glass is still everywhere.
Yeah.
And then a few more minutes pass, I finish up, and he's just vacuuming his car, and there's glass everywhere. So finally, I just walk over, and I go, "Hey, man, is that glass?" And this is one of those, he's one of those too cool for school guys. One of these guys is just so hip and so chill and so fresh, you know, like a Eddie Wong type.
So fresh.
Oh, he's so fresh. You know, these guys are just so cool they can barely stand up.
Yeah.
You know, like the weight of their coolness and their chillness is affecting their posture.
Yeah,
like I am so fresh that I can barely walk. Like this was that guy. He had a flat billed hat and he had like the flowery tank top. And just L.A. cool. Just L.A. cool guy. And I just go, "Hey, man, is that glass?" And he just looks at me like, "Why are you talking to me?" And he just goes, "Yeah." And then I go, "You're just going to leave it there?" And then this look on his face of like, "How dare you talk to me, dude? I'm so chill."
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes,
"I'm the center of the universe."
Yeah, and he goes, "I guess so." And I go, "Oh, okay." And then he goes back to vacuuming his car. So I have a little grocery bag that I keep my trash in, and I just emptied it. So I grab my little grocery sack, and I go around, I pick up all the glass,
Yeah.
And then I gave him – that was two – I gave him two chances, and I gave him one more chance. And I said, for real, you're going to leave this shit here? And he just looked at me. He didn't even say anything this time. He just like gave me the why are you talking to me, weirdo?
Yeah.
So I gather up all the glass, put it in my bag, and it was like, it was a, I don't know, 40, 50 pieces, a little glass. Some of them were pretty big. Broken glass at a car wash. People are going to roll
it's
over this.
Dumb yeah, it's just.
So I gather up all the pieces, and now his girlfriend is in the front passenger seat doing something. He's in the back passenger seat. All four doors are open because they're vacuuming the car, and he's in the back passenger seat with the vacuum thing. So I walk around to the driver's side back passenger door.
Yeah,
and I kind of get half my body inside his thing, and I startled him. He looks up and stops vacuuming. And I grab the bag and I turn it upside down and shake it. And I said, why don't you hang on to that, dipshit?
You shook the glass.
I shook the glass, all 50 pieces of glass. I turned the little bag and just all over the back seat of his car. And dude didn't say a word. Didn't say a word.
Fucking street justice, Dave.
These are my streets, dude.
Yes, these are Dave's streets.
Not in my hood.
Fucking awesome.
Like, what the fuck?
I was waiting. I'm like, did you just give him the bag back?
What the
fuck?
No, no.
Fuck you. Fuck your car.
While he was vacuuming. Completely emptied the contents. And he looked at me like, how dare you?
Yeah.
And didn't say anything. And I just said, have a good day, idiot. And just walked off. Like, please, what are you going to do now, flat bill? What you got?
That's glorious.
What you got, flowery tank top?
That's glorious.
But just, what the fuck is wrong with people?
Everybody,
what is wrong with people?
No, everybody's the center of their own universe. And I'm sure, like, and again, that's one of those things where you don't want to sound like an old man.
Exactly.
But is it, like, is it all social media where everybody's curating this universe? They're just curating museums of themselves.
Yeah.
Everything is like, look at these artifacts of my travels. Look at this picture of this. Documenting where they go. Checking in online. Like, it's just, look at my life and, like putting it out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there is... And I know I sound like a fucking grandpa, but there's like, it seems like the concern for other people, that compassion and kindness for other people, is at an all-time low. And does that play in with the also the Trump era of fuck you, I'm on top, I won, eat my shit? Like that attitude, once again, sorry listeners who wandered in here thinking a conspiracy theory podcast was going to be all right-wing Alex Jones ape shit loser stuff. It's not. I wonder if like that's adding to it. Like, no, we're the best, we're on top, I'm king shit, fuck you attitude. I think there's a lot of stuff playing into that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I read this week. We don't have to worry about that because we're all going to die. The entire human race.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Which car wash was this, by the way?
The one near your old place.
On Glendale?
Yeah, right across from 365.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And what kind of car was it?
It was a little souped-up Honda.
Yeah.
A little Honda guy. A little, like, aftermarket shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
good.
A douche.
Fuck that guy.
Just
fuck.
A douche. And I fuck and when him. I emptied it, I kept eye contact with him. Like, yeah, why don't you hang on to that shit? Say something.
And he didn't, like, what happened after that?
He just had this dumb
like,
fuck.
It wasn't like, it was like, oh, you're crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fight you.
Yeah.
Awesome. The fucking girlfriend idiot. Say anything?
Didn't say a word. And I gave him, this was about 5 minutes after he did it. And I gave him three chances. I asked him three times. So it wasn't, I didn't overreact. I didn't act too quickly. It was clear that I'm just going to smash glass
good.
On a public parking lot and fuck everybody.
Yeah.
Like, nah, dude. Uh-huh.
Yeah, good to know that maybe you're going to get your ass kicked one of these days for being a center of your universe. Well, then you're the one in charge of everything? Then the shit comes to you.
And then yesterday, I'm at a restaurant.
Excited about that story, Dave.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Got a little bit of a boner for that story.
And then yesterday, I'm eating.
You're flustered. You want to take a break? You're breathing heavy now. You're worked up.
I can't believe how many idiots I encounter on a weekly basis. Yesterday, I'm at a restaurant. I'm at Soup Plantation, which, by the way, maybe drop the plantation out of your name at this point.
Just doesn't make sense.
No.
How do you farm soup?
But I'm at Soup. But Soup Plantation, I'm sitting by the window, giant window, sitting by myself in a booth.
Oh, I saw
and this
saw
guy
this
comes up.
I saw that.
And just face and forearms on the glass.
I saw the
like
picture
on
there. Like
a fat toddler at the monkey exhibit at the zoo. Just, I'm going to put my face on the, and he was on the phone.
Yeah.
And I,
he's leaning on it like it's a wall.
Yeah, leaning on it like it's a wall. It's a glass window. It's 2 feet from my...
What did you do on that one?
I stared at him for like 30 seconds, and he didn't acknowledge me because he was looking ahead. And finally, I took out my phone, and I put the flash on, and I just took a picture of him. And when the flash went off, then he looked at me and realized what he was doing and walked away. Like, you fucking idiot. Not only that, but like then he left face and arm prints all over this glass. Like, someone's got to clean that shit off now because your stupid cheek print.
So then you broke the window. Oh. You swept it all into a bag and you dumped it in his car.
But just, what is wrong?
Well, that's...
And he was already outside. You could have... He had this whole plaza to walk around and be on the phone. But he's going to just put his whole body up on the glass.
I mean,
2 feet from me while I'm trying to eat my salad.
It is. I mean, it's Los Angeles. It's the city of self-centered people. I love it here. And I love the friends I've made here. But it is a lot of self-centered... Not a lot of teamwork.
No.
Into trying to become an actor.
Yeah.
You know? You're not carpooling to the audition. It's all you by yourself. But this is what I get confused. Like, you know, it's a very Zen type attitude to be like, nope, I shouldn't worry about what other people think. It's not important. Outside opinions of me aren't. It's what I think of myself that's important, that I believe in myself. And it fundamentally, that's a wonderful way. Like, yeah, who cares what people think negatively of me or this and that? But can't that also lead to I'm a self-centered asshole? Mm-hmm. Like, you forget the compassion part. Like, oh, I'm not going to worry about what other people think and just be a dickhead in the world. And you can, like, bliss your own head up your ass and become a self-centered, you know, piece of shit. Through spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that can happen. Like, through spirituality, all of a sudden you're an asshole, but it doesn't matter if other people think I'm an asshole. All that matters is that I think I'm a good person. It's like, no, maybe you should... Like, what happened to shame?
Exactly.
Shame just disappeared.
Yeah.
Well, like, you know, if somebody was like, hey, so-and-so thinks you're an asshole, I'd be like, why? What did I do? Did I do something? Was I an asshole? Now it's like, who cares? Yeah, maybe I am. Deal with it. My shitty attitude is your problem, not my problem.
Yeah.
And I know, old man alert, but I do think that it's the whole fucking Kardashian celebrities that are celebrities for not even doing anything.
Yep.
Just
selfie
like,
culture.
Yeah. And I know.
Take some more selfies, why don't you?
I've been having a field day on Instagram lately.
I saw that. At first, I didn't know. I was like, wait a minute. And then after the second or third one, I was like, oh, Kyle figured out some Photoshop or something.
Yeah, I figured out some little thing. You're going to make me look at all these goddamn sponsored ads? All right. Well, here, how about this then? How about we do this? Like when you realize, like, and all this stuff, all you put in there, you're just helping people make money. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, well, hey, speaking of spirituality, should we talk about today's topic?
If you want to, we can get into it.
I don't know. I think we should hold out more. I think people really love it when we never get to the subject. Yeah. Do you want to address the one email?
I'll address the email. You got it pulled up?
Yeah, it's from I don't think it's a negative
one. No, it's not negative.
I'll just read this email. It's from Mitch McDonald.
I just didn't make myself clear.
Yeah, thank you for your correspondence, Mitch. Here's the podcast. Are you bringing a whiskey or beers over here, Dave?
Here.
Okay, why don't you bring another one over there for me?
You want some more whiskey?
Let's just bring a beer. I think we're doing good on that. Okay. It was about last podcast. I agree with him. Could have heard about pus and other bodily fluids a little less. I agree with that. I think we lost listeners, Dave, and that's on you.
Bunch of little pansies.
That pus
can't handle a little pus.
Pus is on your hands.
A little pus never hurt no one.
Oh, God. I was triggered about to make a bad puss in boots joke. So then Dave's claim that he could take a coyote. Priceless! And then immediately, in a one-on-one fight with no weapons, an animal would win the majority of the time. Now, that sentence... You just said an animal. There's so many animals, Mitch. And also, with no weapons. I mean, are we talking like... A smaller animal with a weapon versus unarmed Dave?
Uh-huh.
Like...
We're talking bladed weapons?
Yeah.
We're talking firearms? Brass knuckles?
A capybara with a switchblade?
Maybe.
Versus Dave? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of factors you left out. He said they spend their whole lives training to fight and kill, to eat and survive. I don't know if training. I mean, I don't think they're going through a ropes course.
Like a bunch of little Al Qaeda's out there.
I think it's just
jumping on monkey bars.
Yeah, yes.
Slaloms.
Saw squirrels at just a dagger throwing practice the other day. Yeah, I think it's just instinctual is a lot of it. So going up against an animal instinctually, but again, the instinct, if it's not going to win, like it's not fighting you for pride.
Yeah.
Like if you're winning, it'll just run away.
Mm-hmm.
That it could do. I do believe most animals could outrun you, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
And if you could punch it in its stupid coyote face, I believe that's your own quote, it would come back with more aggression.
Mm-hmm. Right. I didn't make myself clear. All right. Punching it in its stupid coyote face was just a figure of speech.
Well,
I have given great thought on how I would defeat and kill a canine because I've had to do this before. I used to live with a guy who had a very vicious pit bull. Just let him roam around inside. And it was when I was living in Atlanta. And I'd come home every night at 2 in the morning after comedy shows. And as soon as I put my key in the lock, all hell would break loose. I got this 120-pound pit bull just at the door. And I thought, one day I'm going to have to murder this pit bull with my bare hands. So I've given it great thought. And I think this pit bull would have been a much greater challenge than your average dipshit coyote.
Yeah.
But I'd either get him in a headlock, sacrifice my forearm. I'd give up, let him chomp.
It's
going to
bite. It's going to bite and it's going to lock in there.
Lock in on that forearm. Guess what? This other arm's going around your neck and head, and I'm putting all 240 pounds of torque on that neck and a side headlock. Either a side headlock and then I take him to the ground and snap his neck, or I put him in a front guillotine choke and just choke him out front guillotine style. Absolutely no way. Lights out for that coyote.
I wouldn't punch him. I don't know if this is urban legend, but you know how to get a pit bull to unclench its jaw.
Put your fist down his throat?
And then you can put your finger in his butt. I swear I heard it.
Are you serious?
I'll look it up. I'm going to go to the computer.
I have heard that technique. If a dog bites you, you just put your fist, you ram it down his mouth.
That's an alligator move.
Is that an alligator move?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's to get out of an alligator. Because you're in the middle of an alligator twirling you around.
Yeah.
Like a, you know.
Unless
like
it got a long
sock.
Mouth.
It's something because then you're blocking how it breathes. Unlock.
But yeah, either a headlock or a guillotine choke on that coyote, and it's lights out. I should have made that clear. I know I said I'd punch him, but that was just figure speech. They got good head movement. They can bob and weave. I don't think I can make contact. Kind of like Mayweather-McGregor, which, by the way, I'm very excited about. We don't have to talk about that because I know you don't care about combat sports, but oh boy, I'm buying into that hype.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Who do you think's going to win?
If I was betting, I would... On paper, Mayweather's 49-0, and McGregor's
Not even counting all the women he's knocked
exactly.
out.
Exactly. And McGregor's never had a professional boxing fight. However, McGregor is bigger, stronger, younger, and it just takes one punch. I don't know. It's intriguing. I'm very excited. I watched all those stupid – I don't know if you caught any of the press conferences. But he goes, you're 40 years of age. What do you got a backpack for? You can't even read. Which is true, by the way. And there's rumors that Mayweather is functionally illiterate. And there's audio. There's audio of him being on some radio morning show. I think it was The Breakfast Club, which is a big popular syndicated morning show. And they were – a lot of celebrities who do that show or any big show will do drops like, hey, this is a comedy and you're listening to Dingo and the Booge.
Yeah.
And but there's audio of him trying to do one of those, but it was a little more elaborate, like he was plugging some charity thing, and he just couldn't – he couldn't do it. They had like 10 takes of him just fumbling through this copy. It was pretty funny. Anyway – I'm sidetracked.
Well, honestly, I just love that. Oh, hey, you know what? Continue to make millions of dollars, you fucking wife beater.
Yeah. Oh, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And then McGregor,
he should be treated like a fighting dog if he loses and be shot out back, as far as I'm concerned.
And then McGregor, who I like, but he slipped up and said some questionably racist stuff this week. I'm hoping it's a cultural thing where he doesn't understand what he said. He called him boy. You don't call a black guy boy. Everybody in America knows it. I'm hoping maybe in Ireland that they don't know the rules to that.
I don't think Danny Boy is a racist Irish song.
I'm hoping he doesn't know what he said, but he
I learned that. I didn't realize that was what you don't say, and I said that at a job just as, you know, as a kid working at a warehouse with just me and my coworkers, black guy. Like, all right, boy, let's go. And I didn't know. I just didn't know. And he's like, oh, we're like that. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you don't say boy. Like, that's, I'm like, shit. I had no idea. And I was so sorry. And then we just had the best relationship.
Yeah.
He was like an inner city dude. He had kids at this point. He was trying real hard to be Christian, but we always just smoked cigarettes. He's like, oh, man. He used to talk about the old days of getting in fights. Love the song November Rain by Guns N' Roses.
Wow.
If we were all fucking around and November Rain came on, he's like, Kyle, not now, Kyle. So I need this one, man. I need this one. It's not now. I'd come in all hungover. And he's like, his big thing is, he'd be like, energy begets energy, Kyle. Energy begets energy. And he'd pick me up and put me in a trash can. Derek Jackson, if you're out there, I love you, buddy. It was a good time. I can't find any proof about sticking a finger up a dog's butt. But just the fact that somebody is like, I'm running out of options with this pit bull attacking me. I'm just going to go up the butt.
I'll keep that in mind.
It's a good way to get it to bite you in the first place.
That's true.
And then double test, like maybe it can't bite you.
Look,
as long as you get up, I don't know. You want to talk about Satanism?
Sure, man.
All right.
Try to buy a satanic Bible?
Yeah, for a hot minute, I was like, I'm going to be a Satanist.
Yeah, you were telling me that a couple weeks ago, and I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
It was just, I thought it was like a cool thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, because you read about it, and it's really not, it has nothing to do with worshiping the devil. There's devil worshippers, which is separate. And Satanism is, and it was a apologize if it was, I'm quoting myself from Twitter, but it's just libertarianism, but with like eyeshadow and shit. It's libertarianism with like more candles.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is, and it was a joke I was trying to make work a couple years ago too. It's just about you're the center of your, well, going back to what we're talking about, but with compassion. Like, yeah. Also, like, if you actually read about Satanism, it'd be like, this is probably, I don't know if it's a religion because you're not, you're not adhering to the deity. Yeah. You're the deity. Mm-hmm. And you're the center of it. But it also stresses compassion for not only other people, but animals, vegetarianism. So it's more of an ideology.
So that was news to me, knowing nothing previously.
Satanism, yeah.
Knowing nothing about it previously, you just assume Satanists worship Satan.
Yeah.
But that is not the case.
It's like a cool word for their club.
So let me ask you, is there a difference between – we're talking about, or we've been researching, Levian Satanism.
Yeah.
Is there a difference?
Anton LaVey.
Now, is that different from just plain old Satanism?
Well, I think the whole idea of Satanism, like, really – started, well, here I'm going from the Wikipedia page, but contemporary religious Satanism is predominantly an American phenomenon, just like jazz. The devil's music. That's really the devil's music. It's not metal, it's jazz.
Yeah.
I mean, blues, well, maybe blues. Robert Johnson.
Jazz.
Joke. Man, I sold my soul to this guy. I can't play guitar for shit. Got ripped off. Also, of all the things, just let me play guitar real good. You could just practice a little bit more instead of selling your whole soul. And then you listen to Robert Johnson, you're like, he's not that good.
True. All that old blue stuff, it seems very simplistic.
If Steve Vai is like, yeah, I sold my soul to the devil, I'm like, yeah, you're a weirdo, and I believe that. And also, man, you fucking shred. Nuno Bettencourt. Wow. All right, man. Eddie Van Halen. Maybe you got some paperwork there where you got your thumbprint in blood.
For that, you sold your everlasting soul. Oh, brother, where art thou when they pick up who's supposed to be Robert Johnson?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Lord, for that, you sold your everlasting soul.
Yeah, and I think it's just, it just seems like it's a cool way to, you know, it just seems like a way to piss off your parents.
Mm-hmm. But no, they do. I mean, the more I read about it, the more it kind of makes sense.
It's not evil.
Mm-hmm.
Just because Satan's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I don't think Satan... Me and David Borey.
I love David.
Yeah, David Borey. Great comedian. Dude. Maybe we'll make him a comic of the week one day. Uh-huh. But until then, since we already have him for this week, just go check out David Borey.
Yeah.
He's a great... His name starts with a G. That's the devil's word.
Yeah, Gabori.
Yeah, G-B-O-R-I-E.
But what about you and him? What'd y'all do?
Oh, he was just doing jokes about the devil and stuff. So afterwards, we just started talking about Satanism. We got real tuned up over at Bar at Echo Park talking about Satanism. Like, these are the conversations I want to have. This is what I like talking about at a bar. Like, obviously, yeah, again, these are the conversations I like having at a bar. Mm-hmm. Clearly not why I'm like, ooh, and send a drink over to the lady at the end. Anyway, if Satan's such a bad guy, he really didn't do anything bad. I think that was Bori's joke about it. He's like, he didn't do anything. He just fucked up once, and God sent him down to hell. Like, he just thought he was bigger than God or something. He's like, I forget the joke. I'm butchering it.
Yeah.
But he was just like, I'm as good as God. He's like, that's what Kanye does now. Nothing's happened to him. Like, it was just Bori being hilarious.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, but like, I'm not that turned off by the devil in a Christian sense.
Mm-hmm.
Not being a Bible scholar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about something that you're told is just, it's just evil.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything that's bad just gets lumped onto that guy, even though it's nothing that he did. The stuff I'm trying to do in comedy right now, like talk like how everything that's good, it's God. God's great, and anything that's good is like, oh, good for, oh, God's looking out for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you have good luck, like if it's luck, it's like it's never like, no, it's God. But if it's bad luck, it's bad luck. But if it's good luck, it's because God's looking out for
mm-hmm.
you. Or the whole, everything happens for a reason. Like the excuses you give for shit that happens in your life.
Yeah.
If you're a God-fearing person.
Yeah.
Like, well, everything happens for a reason. Well, maybe the reason was the person walked in front of a bus, and that's what I got hit for a bus. Maybe that's the reason.
Yeah.
Is the person was looking at their phone, they walked in front of a bus.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's just the reason. It's not like, well, God has a plan.
Or I got this my whole childhood. The Lord works in mysterious ways.
Oh, that's my new favorite joke I'm doing.
That's like, their version of shit happens.
Yeah, the Lord works in mysterious ways. That's, I'm like, well, how come he can do that? Like, you go to your job and you work in mysterious ways and tell me how long you keep your job. Like, that's my new favorite job. Like, yeah, you work at a restaurant, go slap food out of people's mouths and pour coffee on a baby. And when your boss is like, what the fuck? You're like, oh, Jeremy works in mysterious ways. You don't get to keep your job. You don't get to keep your job.
Oh, that's funny.
I hate running bits, but it's like it pertains to what we're talking about.
Yeah, good for you. Oh, that's good. But yeah, no, I got that my whole life too. Like, you know, even now, you know.
You're from the South too. You probably got to hear with a lot more.
Something good in my career will happen and a family member will be like, that's just God looking out for you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. But could it also be years of hard work and sacrifice on my part? You know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's not like, but what about me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, so anyway.
That's why I get mad. Like, everything, the devil gets blamed for everything that we do wrong. Like, it's the devil's pass. Why is it called that? Well, because a bunch of people went up there without enough food and water and they died. It has nothing to do with the devil. It's because we're dumb. And then the scapegoat, oh, it's the devil. Devil did that.
Speaking of which, can we sidetrack real quick?
That's what we do.
You talk about where you went today.
Oh, I went to Devil's Gate.
Now, what is that?
Well, it's just a tunnel with a bunch of graffiti in Pasadena, but it's not a natural rock formation. There's a Devil's Gate Dam in Pasadena,
uh-huh.
And it's one of the arroyos that came down from the Angeles Forest there.
What is an arroyo? I keep hearing that.
It's like a dried up riverbed.
Okay. Because I hear that a lot in Pasadena.
Yeah, and it's a lot of, the mountain runoff. That's the Angeles National Forest up there. Are those the San Bernardino Mountains? I want to get that correct. And so they built this dam, you know, earlier in the 20th century, thinking like, oh, all the snow melt, and they're going to have to, like, block all the snow melt coming down, creating a river going through it. So they built this dam, and now, obviously, because of climate change. That's what I was going to say, that whole New York Times article on climate change. That was just like, oh yeah, we're all fucking doomed.
Yeah.
So that was something. San Gabriel Mountains. So it's just like kind of dried up riverbed, and there's a dam at the end of it, Devil's Gate Dam, and there's just a one of the runoff tunnels on the other side of the dam has gates over it, and like the rock formation from where they had constructed the dam looks like a devil's face. To be honest, I didn't even see the devil's face. It's just a spooky place, like any spooky place. When I was a kid, a guy in seventh grade told me that the basement of the abandoned Ovaltine factory in Villa Park had one of the gates, one of the seven gates of hell in it, and that's why the fire department had to flood it, because it was one of the gates to hell was in the basement of a powdered chocolate children's breakfast drink factory.
Wow.
Which was legitimately, now it's condos and there's been no stories about being haunted, but that was like urban exploration, like the scariest fucking place you could possibly go was the abandoned Ovaltine factory. Wow. It looked like the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, like the Willy Wonka factory.
Yeah.
Before like they opened it, it was just smokestacks and wrought iron gates. Wow. That's what this place looked like. Wow. It was scary. I went with my sister today, and she's the only one who went in the Ovaltine factory. I was too scared to go in there. She got in there.
Yeah, you told that story before.
Well, here. Fuck me then,
no,
Dave.
No. I'm saying
No, remember. Fuck me. You're right. You could have stopped me 5 minutes ago when I dove in on it.
I just made the connection that I'd already heard that
before. Well, anyway, okay, yeah. It's a scary place. But, yeah, so this is, any scary place, it's a gate to hell. Mm-hmm. So we just went looking for it. It was spooky. The gates were open. It's just this long, scary tunnel just filled with a bunch of graffiti.
Wow.
Just a spot to do tagging and everything.
That reminds me, in my hometown of Canton, Georgia, when I was a teenager, we had this building. It used to, anybody who knows about Canton, Georgia, it used to be the old library just south of downtown and Main Street. Then it turned into like the 911 communication center, and now I don't know what it is. But on the side of the building was the whole side of the building was marble. It was just like this marble, and you know how marble has kind of these swirly, you know, weird designs just naturally in it. But plain as day, and I'm assuming it was a coincidence, but it's kind of like when you see something in the clouds.
Sure.
But plain as day, right in the middle of the side of this wall, looked like a devil's head.
Yeah.
Just the classic, you know, triangular goatee horn, like one of those, what do they call those that artwork that was big in the 90s where you unfocus your eyes and you see stuff.
Oh, the magic eyes stuff. Yeah.
But like, you didn't even have to like.
I was like the devil had a goatee.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the devil, but also I'm going to shave a little pointy goatee. It doesn't matter. Like, the horns coming up are one thing, but I feel like if I sell it with a point at the end, like the devil had a weak chin he was self-conscious about. Even though he's the devil, he's like, it just doesn't fit. The horns, I'm just so top-heavy in the face. I got to do something.
But yeah, anybody in Canton, Georgia, check that out. And it was right on that line of like, okay, this isn't my imagination. Like, 99 out of 100 people would see this if they look at this wall, but it also didn't look like aftermarket. Like, it didn't look like somebody
messed around.
Yeah, it's just like, what the hell?
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if you want to spend your life obsessing about something, you're going to see it. Probably much like that fucking pedo that kept seeing UFOs, like every little blink in the sky. If you make that your default mindset, like, nope, Jesus is real. Jesus is going to come back. You're going to see Jesus in your tortillas and your hardwood floors just as much as you're going to see the devil, or you're going to see Elvis, or you're going to see aliens. Like, if you make that your mindset, that was a fuck. Oh, there's a guy in Addison, my hometown, that this is a weird story. That guy was probably a pedo. Like had Jesus was in the wood grain of his door. Me and my buddy Brian were riding by our bikes back from Mog. Let's go see that guy. Let us look at the Jesus that's in the door at his office. And it was some real wing nut. And he's sitting us down. We're like 12 years old.
Uh-oh.
And he's just like, and I'm going to run. I'm going to run for mayor. And eventually, once I get into Congress, it's going to be pink and blue money. We're not going to have green money. There's going to be pink money, and there's going to be blue money. And he just kept playing tapes of him rambling on radio interviews. And anyway, yeah, there's Jesus in the door. You see that there? Anyway, sit down and listen to this. Yeah, and it was like, dude, we got to go home for dinner.
I'll take your picture.
And it was getting to the point of like, he wasn't going to let us leave. Like, we're like, oh man, what did we do? I think there was two of us, much like the coyote. I think we could have taken him.
Oh boy.
But as far, the Devil's Gate thing, I think it's just such a, I'll say it's folklore.
Mm-hmm.
Then anytime you see a spooky place, like, oh, it's the devil's spot, because the devil's gotten a bad rap. And I think Satanism is just this campaign to retake the idea of the devil or Satan.
Well, I'm on the official Church of Satan website.
It's just an edgy take on libertarianism.
Yeah. Just a quick overview. Founded April 30th, 1966 by Anton LaVey. Mm-hmm. We are the first above-ground organization in history openly dedicated to the acceptance of man's true nature, that of a carnal beast living in a cosmos that is indifferent to our existence. To us, Satan is a symbol that best suits the nature of who we are, carnal by birth, people who feel no battles raging between our thoughts and feelings, we who do not embrace the concept of a soul imprisoned in a body. So that's what they think is going on.
So it's really just kind of like, I've listened to some interviews with, you know, a couple of people, like, and it's just like, it's just basically follow your desires. As long mm-hmm. as long as things are consensual and you're not hurting other people, then do what you will. Do mm-hmm. what thou will, mm-hmm. I think is the theme, which really is inarguable
mm-hmm.
as a philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, both parties, consenting parties, if it's sexual or what have you, mm-hmm. give it a go.
Yep.
But where does that limit, you know, how does that affect other people? You know, it's like, well, I guess, you know, drug use. Well, if you want to do drugs, but then that does affect the people around you. You know, mm-hmm. if you want to do drugs, you can go do drugs, but then if you got a, you know, family or mm-hmm. something like that, well, I guess that still falls under, like, well, do no harm to other people.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like an edgy way to, like it seems like a good gimmick mm-hmm. for what is a pretty decent philosophy,
mm-hmm.
but it's a nice little gimmick to get you in there.
One of their principles that I find interesting, whereas Christianity believes in the principle of turn the other cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Someone does something bad to you, you just ignore it and forgive them.
Yeah.
They do not believe in that.
Yeah.
They believe eye for an eye. Do not turn the other cheek.
I'm all right with that.
I'm kind of all right with that, too.
But also, that's very consuming lifestyle, too.
What do you mean?
Like, well, turn the other cheek can be taken as a, I think in the biblical sense, is a no, except like, but I think so, in a different way, it can be like, you know what? Fuck you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Or you slap me? I don't even care. Like, not turn the other cheek, like, hit me again because I forgive you. I think a good attitude, much like I'm trying to harness with the road rage, is like, let it go. It wasn't, if it's direct harm, intentional harm, that's one thing. But mm-hmm. road rage just comes from a place that's not intentional harm.
Mm-hmm. I've got here the nine satanic sins.
Whereas, I want to hear these.
Yeah. Whereas Christianity has the Ten Commandments. It's basically their version of that. And I'll start with nine and go up to their number one. Number nine, lack of aesthetics. And I'm reading off of their website. This is a physical application of the balance factor. Aesthetics is important in lesser magic and should be cultivated. It is obvious that no one can collect any money of classical standards of beauty and form most of the time, so they are discouraged in a consumer society, but an eye for beauty, for balance, is an essential satanic tool and must be applied for greatest magical effectiveness. I don't know what they're trying to say there.
Yeah, that's a real wordy way, I think, that yeah. says dress like a fucking dress like a teenager who doesn't want your parents to understand you.
Number eight, counterproductive pride. They say the first word is important. Pride is great up to the point you begin to throw out the baby with the bathwater.
These are the sins.
These are the nine satanic sins. First one being lack of aesthetics. It's a sin to have a lack of aesthetics. The next one is counterproductive pride.
So these are the things that are bad.
Like, yes.
Instead of the thing, so
avoid these.
So basically number nine is like
a lack of aesthetics.
You need to have some style.
I guess that's
you want to be a
saying.
Satanist. You need to have some style. It's a kind of a dumb style, but have some like, look good. Be okay. All right.
They close that statement with, aesthetics is a personal thing reflective of one's own nature, but there are universally pleasing and harmonious configurations that should not be denied. So they're saying right there that there's some, you know, so, some versions of style and aesthetics that you can't deny is rad. So make sure you do that shit.
Which is basically, yeah, any kind of that aesthetic of, like, basically those really cool mechanic shirts from 1996 that had, like, the devil face on the back. What was I forget the guy who made those all those art that artwork.
Huh. I used to rock those mechanic shirts.
I did too.
Yeah.
I did too. So basically, lack of aesthetics is dressed like it's 1996. Dress like you're going to see the band Lit.
or Disturbed.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, like, make sure it looks like you are attending Lollapalooza 1994.
Going back to number 8, counterproductive pride. The rule of Satanism is, if it works for you, great. When it stops working for you, when you've painted yourself into a corner and the only way out is to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I wish we could compromise somehow, then do it. So, don't have too much pride.
That's completely sensible.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I like number 9's the easiest one to make fun of, but it's also the last one.
Mm-hmm. Number 7, forgetfulness of past orthodoxies. I have no idea what that means. They say, be aware that this is one of the keys to brainwashing people into accepting something new and different, when in reality it's something that was once widely accepted but is now presented in a new package. We are expected to rave about the genius of the creator and forget the original. This makes for a disposable society. You want to decipher that one for me?
Yeah, I'm not the smartest.
Yeah, some of this is over my head. We'll skip that
something
one.
Something that was once well... I think it's... I don't know if they're, like, taking down other religions with this one. Like... Don't, I don't know if it's directed at other religions, like, you know, like mega church Christianity that's just positive and cheering. And mm-hmm. I don't know, just basically, like, don't forget, like, just don't take something that looks new when really it's just the same old shit repackaged. I'm repackaging their statement by mm-hmm. saying that. But I'm trying to think of what they're targeting with that statement.
Yeah, the sin is the forgetfulness. So they're saying don't forget past orthodoxy.
Yeah, don't forget that they're don't forget the original.
Uh-huh.
You know.
The original being what?
Well, that's what I don't know if they're they're I think just in general. But also maybe they're saying like any kind of new Satanism that comes out. Since they're a relatively new religion, there could be offshoots. And so maybe this is them trying to protect their own, their core.
Could be.
I don't know, you know.
Number 6, lack of perspective.
Oh, sure.
Again, this is one can lead to a lot of pain for Satanists. You must never lose sight of who and what you are and what a threat you can be by your very existence. We are making history right now, every day. Always keep the wider historical and social picture in mind. That is an important key to both lesser and greater magic. See the patterns and fit things together as you want the pieces to fall into place.
All right. That's, I mean, lack of perspective, that's just good. That's just good info.
Mm-hmm. This is an interesting one. Number 5 is herd conformity. Herd, H-E-R-D, as in don't follow the herd.
Yeah.
That's obvious from a satanic stance. It's all right to conform to a person's wishes if it ultimately benefits you, but only fools follow along with the herd, letting an impersonal entity dictate to you. The key is to choose a master wisely instead of being enslaved by the whims of the many.
I could see how, like, how much of a hard-on I would have had for this in high school when I read it. Like, you could tell, like, why...
It's kind of punk rock.
It's like, oh, man. Yeah, I don't want to be part of any herd except for Satanism, and I'll follow everything. Don't be a part of a herd, which is the middle of our list of rules.
Except our herd.
Well, yeah, yeah, that's everything. Like, think for yourself, except for when it goes against the group that you belong. Well, let's see, number four. I'll trade off with you.
All right.
Self-deceit. It's in the nine satanic statements, but deserves to be repeated here. Another cardinal sin. We must not pay homage to any of the sacred cows presented to us, including the roles we are expected to play ourselves. The only time self-deceit should be entered into is when it's fun and with awareness. I think that's just role-playing. Like self-deceit, like, I'm a sexy cop. Because I'm neither of those things. Like, maybe that's when it's okay. But then it says, but then it's not self-deceit. Like, I know I'm not a sexy cop, but for the next 6 minutes I am. Oh, no, I unlawfully discharged my weapon. I think that's what they mean on that one.
Oh, God.
This one's going to get me. Number three, solipsism.
I looked it up.
Yeah?
The view or theory that the self is all that can be known to exist. So, you know.
Okay, well, it says it can be very dangerous for Satanists. Projecting your reactions, responses, and sensibilities onto someone who is probably far less attuned than you are.
Yeah, a.k.a. being up your own ass.
Okay, which is really all, most of religion's thing. Like, get your head out of your ass. Mm-hmm. As we've stated, that should be a theme of the whole fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is the mistake of expecting people to give you the same consideration, courtesy, and respect that you naturally give them. They won't. Instead, Satanists must strive to apply the dictum of do unto others as they do unto you. It's work for most of us and requires constant vigilance lest you slip into a comfortable illusion of everyone being like you. It's just a pretty good lesson. As has been said, certain utopias would be ideal in a nation of philosophers. But unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately from a Machiavellian standpoint, we are far from that point. But I think that's just a good... Okay, read the definition of solipsism again.
Solipsism is the view or theory that this self is all that can be known to exist. So the theory that the world revolves around me.
Yeah, it's
all about me.
And this goes back to road rage, which is my biggest problem right now. These are things that are not being done personally to me. I'm taking them personally,
True. But
the person in the other vehicle isn't looking at you and deciding they don't like you and they're doing something. But
I get that concept, and I've thought about that, like not taking it personally. But not to go off on road rage, but we've kind of talked about...
We're trying to use a particular philosophy and apply it to our lives to better ourselves.
I get
right?
that.
It's okay.
I get that it's not a personal attack on me, that this guy's just trying to cut a corner because he's late to work.
Yeah.
However, and I think we've addressed this, the difference, the levels or degrees of poor driving that induces road rage. I get that it's not a personal... You didn't do it personally against me. However...
Mm-hmm.
Your negligence just put my life in danger.
Yeah.
So fuck you.
Yeah.
You know. Now, not all poor driving is putting people's lives in danger, but like but a lot of it is. So and even I can take it. But if I'm with my lady friend or something, I've got somebody in my car.
Yeah. You're in charge of their safety as well.
You could have killed me and this other person because of your negligence, and that induces pretty high levels of road rage. You know, and I think about that when I get pissed. Like, well, was that just something stupid, or was that something dangerous?
Yeah. I get understood. That's some good insight. That goes back to the lack. You are not committing lack of perspective. You have perspective.
Yes.
So far, you're a good Satanist, Dave. you want to take number two?
Number two. I like this one. Pretentiousness.
Oh.
Empty posturing can be the most irritating and isn't applying the cardinal rules of lesser magic. On equal footing with stupidity for what keeps the money in circulation these days, everyone's made to feel like a big shot, whether they can come up with the goods or not. So, I got to agree with that.
Yeah.
Pretentiousness. You know, kind of very closely related to solipsism. They both kind of, get your, it ain't all about you, dipshit.
All right, Mayweather.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, I'd never even heard of that word until today.
You know what? I'm real guilty.
Solipsism.
I'm guilty of pretentiousness because I'll try and drop words in.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'll probably try and use solipsism at some point tonight and screw it up and say, like, prolapsism or something.
Solipsism does sound like a sexual dysfunction.
Solipsism,
sorry. My doctor said at this age it's not uncommon to have a little solipsism, so we'll get you done tomorrow.
Solipsism. I think, okay.
So number one, and I like this. You want to go for this?
No, you earned it.
Number one on the list of nine satanic sins, stupidity. Mm-hmm. That kind of goes into what I was talking about today. I drive around all day just in awe of how stupid the general public is.
Well, right here it said, it's too bad stupidity isn't painful.
Yeah.
Ignorance is one thing, but our society thrives increasingly on stupidity. It sure does.
Mm-hmm.
Although, like it just says, don't. It's just saying, it's not giving specific examples. It depends on people going along with whatever they are told. Mm-hmm. Which is a weird thing to have at the end of a list of rules.
That's a good one.
When the last one is, you better dress cool, like a cool Satanist.
True.
Like, hey, better dress. Hey, make sure you wear your fucking black velvet cape when it's 90 degrees out. And then their last rule is, don't be stupid. Like, come on.
That? I mean, surely that can't be what they're
trying to say. Let's go back. Well, let's okay.
Lack of aesthetics.
Let me see. All right. These are also based on other knowledge that we don't have about Satanism. Mm-hmm. We don't know lesser and greater magics.
Yeah.
This is a physical application of the balance factor. Aesthetics is important in lesser magic. It should be cultivated. It's obvious that no one could like me. it's like don't make money for it. Like, don't be a model. Don't be vain. Don't be a model. We're not saying that those are the same thing, but they fucking kind of are. Let's be honest.
Yeah. But that last line, aesthetics is a personal thing reflective of one's own nature, you know, kind of have your own style, but there are universally pleasing and harmonious configurations that should not be denied.
I wonder, you know what I want? I want a Hawaiian shirt, but like, you know, like not just the flowers, but you know, it's like sometimes it's like, oh, here's a little woody wagon with some surfboards hanging out. Here's some people at the beach. Well, just horrific scenes. But just like, that's oh, here's right some, there. Here's someone being beheaded right over here, and here, there's a pile of bodies on fire in the corner over here. Like I want a satanic Hawaiian shirt. It's got to be out there.
Write that down, dude. That's hilarious.
I just said it. It's out there for posterity now.
Dude, that's some Canaan merch.
Oh, just button ups. I'm selling button ups on the road. I just like, well, when you talk about the aesthetics, I like all the Satanist shit looks cool. The Baphomet, goat's head, mm-hmm. upside down pentagram. Like, it looks good. Which is, if you think about it, in certain factions of Christianity, they also still apply those style rules. Like, mm-hmm. like design is still a huge part of religion. Like, I've made the joke. I know Matt Bronger's made the joke. Like, yes, Nazis were terrible, but their fucking design was crisp.
It was
tight as shit. Hugo Boss designed the Nazis' outfits.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you can go buy Hugo Boss in a store now. He designed Nazi outfits. Like, Nazis look tight as fuck, dude.
Dude, that's so funny because did I tell you my dream?
Volkswagens. The fucking wagon of the people. That's the name. That's what it means in German. That's high. Like, that was for the Nazis.
I had a dream last week that, all right, I'll just make it brief. I was at some social engagement. It was kind of like a, not necessarily black tie, but like I was at some party where I had to kind of dress up. And I was wearing some sort of white supremacist Nazi. I had a black long sleeve button up shirt that had like the Iron Cross and a couple other weird things.
I hope you bit your tongue in the middle of this one.
And people were like, Dave, what the fuck are you? I'm like, yeah, I know, but it's all I had, but it looks pretty rad. And people were like, yeah, I mean, you look good. Like, I looked fresh.
That's
I was getting compliments, and I was aware. It's like, oh, no, I know, and I don't believe in any of this shit, but it's all I had. I don't really wear, like, you know, collared shirts, button-up shirts.
And, I only have a collared shirt, but yeah, it's a Nazi.
Yeah, it was some sort of white supremacist. It was a long-sleeve black button-up shirt with a bunch of weird white supremacist Nazi insignia on it. And first, people were appalled, but then several people were like, it does look pretty rad. And I was like, yeah, I know. Who is
this? This is not related, but for some reason, I have no idea how I got to this point in a conversation with my friend Jenna. But it's, what if you could time travel, but the only way you are allowed to time travel is to do it in blackface? And so it's the only way you like, you want to time travel, but you gotta be super fucking racist to time travel.
Why?
I have no idea. I wrote it down like, because we were dying.
Oh my God.
Over it. No idea the routing of the conversation that led to that. I have no fucking idea.
Oh
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, Hugo Boss, originally focusing on uniforms as a supplier for the Nazi party organizations both before and during World War II.
Well, okay, talking about the aesthetics, you could apply that to Christianity in the sense that, you know,
look at cathedrals.
Well, that and, like, it is frowned. You can't show up at church, at Southern Baptist Church Sunday morning, in tank tops and flip-flops.
Yeah, and what,
you dress
and what kind of all-accepting God... Like, you're dressing up for the Lord? Like, yeah. Wouldn't the Lord be like, no, didn't he wash peasants' feet?
Yeah.
But, oh, we got to put on our nice clothes.
But is this essentially their version of that? Like, hey, you know, put forth some effort. Dress up.
Well, this seems like at all times, though. Like, this is just one of the Ten Commandments was, like, it looked good. One of the ten, like, if there's 11th commandment, and it's just the lyrics to Sharp Dressed Man by ZZ Top.
Oh, man. That was the first ZZ Top song I heard as a child.
I got no problem with ZZ Top.
I love ZZ Top, especially early ZZ Top. That 80s pink furry guitars was a little much, but man, that Tres Hombres and some of those early records, oh boy, good stuff.
Chip on a pearl necklace.
That's a funny. I had a bit about that never worked, but like that was a radio hit in the 70s, Pearl Necklace. And they're basically... Imagine a radio hit. They're saying, she wants you to come on her neck.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on her neck.
Yeah.
Like, Pearl Necklace.
They were good. They
that
were good
was
about
a radio
it.
Hit, Pearl Necklace.
Got me under pressure. ZZ Top's a good band.
LaGrange.
Good band.
Oh, I love ZZ Top. But that always blew my mind how that was a big hit, Pearl Necklace.
Frank Beard, the name of the drummer, the only one without a beard.
Yep.
Fun stuff. So, the Church of Satan. ChurchofSatan.com. They're not hurting anybody.
Yeah. Has so, nothing to do with Satan himself.
Has nothing to do with Satan. I think it's just an edgy thing to go with. You know, again, like you read, you know, most of the Ten Commandments, I mean, how many of them, like, you can't have another God, but most of them are like, just don't be dickhead to other people.
Yeah. And I got no problem with the Ten Commandments. You know, we've talked about spirituality and Christianity and, you know, Ten Commandments. Yeah, basically don't be a shithead.
Most of them.
Got a list of famous Satanists.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah.
We'll get a bonus episode on this one.
Sammy Davis Jr.
I like that one. I like, do you know when he joined? I'm going to find out.
No, Sammy I don't. Day.
Because... This is a relatively it's an American religion and
started
a new
in 66.
Religion. Yeah.
So it was after.
Or is that? Or is this just a weird internet hoax? Because of all the fucking how much would Frank Sinatra lose his shit on Sammy Davis Jr.?
What do you mean?
Well, Frank Sinatra wasn't like the notorious like Catholic. God-fearing mafia, and then...
Sammy Davis Jr. was a Satanist. Jane Mansfield.
Yeah, all right.
Actress model from, what, the 60s?
Mariska Hargitay's mom, right?
I don't know who that is.
Woman from Law & Order.
I never watched Law & Order.
Really? On the road? You never, like, that's the ones, like, that's the one constant I can rely on. Like, never. I'm stuck in this hotel, there's going to be 7 Law and Orders in a row, and fucking great.
Never did it for me, those procedurals.
And, yeah, it's, Jane Mansfield is her mom, and her dad is a bodybuilder named Mickey Hargitay, who owns a plant store over on, was it Fountain Boulevard? That's where we got the new plants. Rachel got the new plants. We're going to Mickey Hargitay's.
Really?
That's
Fountain Boulevard.
It's right by Fat Sal's.
Oh, okay. Like WeHo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fountain and La Brea or somewhere around there.
Yeah. She's a Satanist.
Huh.
How about some of that stuff?
Marilyn Manson. No surprise there.
That's easy.
King Diamond.
Yeah, a
metal lot of band. Stuff.
Matt Skiba from Alkaline Trio. Ah, remember you when you were in a... I forget the other his other bands.
Mark Allman, who was the lead singer of Soft Cell. Tainted Love.
I've heard that song. I hate that fucking song.
Yeah, it's one of those...
It's like a good song that like you just hear everywhere.
Got
like
overexposed.
Can't hear it anymore.
Yeah. And Liberace. Liberace was a Satanist.
I could see that one. Mm-hmm. But, well, let's put Liberace up against.
He adhered to
number 9. He crushed number 9.
I was about to say. Yeah, he's killing those aesthetics. Was that what the movie? What was that HBO movie recently? Was that about him? The one with the
Matt Damon and Kirk Douglas? Yeah. Kirk Douglas. That was a weird.
I didn't know if that movie. Was Liberace or something.
No, it was Liberace and like his boyfriend. Well, counterproductive pride. He would make his boyfriends get plastic surgery to look like him.
Really?
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Yeah. The whole thing. Like, he would get him to look like him, and then he'd fuck himself. But by the rule of Satanism, if it works for you, great. So if that worked for him, but the do unto other things, well, if they were into it. Self-deceit. Well, he didn't have any of that. Pretentiousness. I don't know. I'm basing all my knowledge off the Kirk Douglas thing. I don't know. Liberace is Satanist.
Yeah, that's weird.
Well, that's the thing. You know what? I want, like, are there ceremonies? Do we need to go to Church of Satan?
We probably should. Is it Sunday morning? What if they had services on Sunday morning?
I really think Church of Satan's much more of like a late afternoon crowd.
What if they sang songs and what if everything was the same?
Yeah, it was like shitty music. That was my problem. Like when like going to Catholic Mass, but it was like just the honkiest Catholic Mass, and it was just so like at least Black churches, like that's music that seems like you're celebrating life and whatever who you're praising.
And we're making a joyful noise.
Exactly. And the most morose, like just fuck 9 48-year-old white women just Hosanna in the highs. Like, fuck this sucks. Like, it sucks. Like, people are lamenting the decline of the Catholic Church. Like, the only reason the Catholic Church or Catholicism still existing in the United States is the Latino community.
Really?
Which, that's another one.
So, what are you saying? It's not big in the Anglo-North?
No, everybody's dumping it. Like, really? Nobody cares anymore.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's the Latino community is one that is still there are Catholics. And that's another thing that when you could look at history and find out it was like the Spanish and people conquered Latin America and everything. It was basically like, we're going to steal your gold.
Yeah.
And you're going to believe in this guy or we're going to kill you. And to be so devout when the history is just right there. Which still, but that's very North America. That's the Americas. Mm-hmm. I don't know the history of why would my relatives believe in Catholicism. Mm-hmm. Like I never questioned how that came. It was just I'm Polish, Italian, and Irish descent. So it just came to that. I never went into finding out that. So maybe I just answered my own question. But when it's so obvious why Latin America and so like no, it's because everybody the Spaniards came. They just took your gold.
Mm-hmm.
And forced you to do this. But I do like they have the Santa de Muerte.
What's that?
The death saint. Like, it used to be the Virgin of Guadalupe, or the Virgin Mary was the big, like, the most popular saint. And I'm really just going off some knowledge, as we do here at the... Mm-hmm. By the way, it's the Boogie Monster with Kyle and Dave.
Yeah, I'm Dave. That's Kyle.
If you have been listening for the past hour and 20 minutes and weren't sure.
Yeah.
It's the Boogie Monster with Kyle and Dave. But then, this, like, when I was in Mexico, they're like, oh, yeah, no, Santa de Muerte is the main thing. And it looks like the Virgin Mary, but it's a skeleton inside, a skull, and she's holding a globe and a scythe.
Huh.
And all the gangsters and the drug cartels like that saint, because that's the saint that says, if you have to murder somebody, but it's for the good of your family, that's okay.
Wow.
Like, I think they just made up a saint so they can murder people.
Huh.
It's like, holy shit.
How do you like that?
Well, anyway. Well, yeah. So, anyway, there's saints out there to tell you it's okay to... The holy death.
I want to touch on this real quick. I know we got to wrap it up soon.
Touch it.
As we've talked about before, touch it. I grew up in a Southern Baptist religion. Mm. I grew up in a Southern Baptist household and went to a Southern Baptist church. And I remember talking about Satanism, like, in my teenage years. It seems like in the late 80s and in the early and mid-90s, there was a kind of an influx in like satanic fear amongst Christians, primarily in the context of music.
Yeah, well, the heavy metal.
I was a big metalhead, grew up a big metalhead. And I just remember, like, and it was almost to the point where, like, anything secular, anything that wasn't praising Jesus, so many Christians would just label satanic.
If you're not with us, you're against us.
And I remember one time we had some special youth group seminar. I remember like a Wednesday night pizza party. All right, it was 7 o'clock. Everybody meet down at the youth building of the church.
Christians get with pizza. Oh, yeah. Satan gets you with the music. Christians get you with the pizza.
And we had some guest speaker, and this was probably 93, 94, and the whole seminar, the whole lecture was about satanic music and like subliminal satanic messages in pop culture. And this dude had like a whole laundry list of bands and movies and TV shows that you may not notice it, but there's undertones of and I remember like, now I get if you're some grandma and your grandson has a Slayer shirt with a pentagram on it.
Slayer's pretty dead on.
I could see how you'd be like, that's Satan. But this dude, Pearl Jam, The Offspring, probably Dave Matt, any the most benign, safe music. Like, they were just, no, we all know that the metal stuff is clearly said, but did you know that Pearl Jam? And they'd quote some lyrics, and I was like, you're out of your fucking mind.
Just because they talk about it. Like, you couldn't even mention it.
Couldn't even mention it.
Like, fingers in the ears, like, no, I can't hear you.
Take it easy. Like, just, and it really was embarrassing of like, you know, just kind of like.
Anyway, I'll see you at the shack in the woods where we're all going to hold snakes for Jesus.
Just the whole, if I don't understand it, it must be terrible.
Suburban Chicago, one of my favorite bands still is a band called the Smoking Popes. Mm-hmm. And I had their t-shirt, but because it said smoking on it, it was more of like, we got to keep our kids safe. Not from the devil, but from just smoke. It promotes smoking. I'm like, no, it's a band name, Smoking Popes.
Yeah.
I remember being like a hall monitor. Well, I got along. I wasn't, like, the hall monitors were pretty fun.
Uh-huh.
But I'm like, but it's a band name. Like, it says smoking. You can't wear it. You have to go. You have to turn it inside out. And the fucking metalhead walked by with a Cannibal Corpse t-shirt on. I'm like, those are drawings of dead, skinless bodies.
Yeah.
And the Hallmark's like, doesn't say smoking. I'm like, you got to be fucking
no discretion.
Like,
no.
Like, you're not going to make a judgment call right now. And I hate it because it was the cool. Like, the Hallmark's like old ladies. Uh-huh. They weren't other teenagers. I was like, come on, Fran.
When I was in fourth grade, my mom found my Beastie Boys cassette tape. And just because Beastie Boys sounded nasty, she made me go out in the driveway with a hammer and smash it.
Really?
Yeah.
Which album?
The first one, License to Ill. I don't know if that's the first one, but this is the first big one.
3MTA3.
Yeah.
3MTA3, baby. It was the airplane.
Written on the
airplane. First off, yeah, it was the airplane crashing, which looked like a joint. And then the tail insignia was eat me backwards.
Right.
3MTA3.
But yeah, I remember when I first heard Paul Revere, some guy on the bus had a boombox, and I was like, what is that? So later, somehow I got a hold of the tape, and my mom found it, and I had to go smash it with a hammer. Because Beastie Boys sounds nasty.
I bought Appetite for Destruction at the mall, and I told my mom, like, look, they sold it to me, even though it says parental warning. There's nothing you could do about it. And then I opened up, and there was that I forget who did the artwork, but it was like a woman who was like the artwork that was originally supposed to be the cover, and it was like a woman who was raped by a robot.
I remember that.
And I was like, I'm a little uncomfortable about this.
Yeah.
Like, at that age, I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this. And then there's actual fuck noises during the song. I'm like, Jesus.
What song
Rocket Queen had them.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
But the last half of Rocket Queen, probably some of the most glorious music that's ever been created is the last half of Rocket Queen. The breakdown and the build-up and... That's a different thing.
That album.
That whole album.
It changed the game.
It was dirty. It was dirty
87, rock. 88?
I think 86, but it didn't even become a thing until 89. And,
yeah,
but I
with the video.
Did you know Snake Handlers?
Yes, I did. I knew of some Snake Handlers. We should do an episode on that.
Well, an episode, I guess we can get to it. But just thinking about how, like, oh, Satanism. As we're like, anyway, but Jesus wants me to hold snakes.
Yeah, true.
Like, which part, what? Which part did you decide to focus on?
God will protect me.
And he doesn't. They're always bit up.
Yeah, some of that primitive Southern Baptist stuff. Ooh, boy. Some backwoods shit. But don't listen to Pearl Jam.
But that's way creepier than just like a little fucking... velour orgy that these Satanists are having.
Or speaking in tongues. You ever seen anybody speak in tongues?
I went, my buddy was born again Christian, and I went to a church with him, and people were doing beyond the born again Christian thing, like just gibberish screaming. And I was like, I went to that church, I'm like, whoa, this is fucked.
That's scary.
Yeah, I've never been scared by Satanists. I don't know if I've met any. Which is probably why they're cool. Shove it down your throat. We've been yammering for a minute here.
Been yammering, man.
All right.
Want to wrap it up?
I guess.
You got anything else to say about Satanism?
We just got into it. A couple drinks really makes an episode pop off.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to stop doing this shit sober. My God. What, Edward R. Morrow? What are we doing here?
Oh, boy.
All right, you want to wrap it up? Comic of the week. You got a recipe. You
want to save it? I don't know. You want me to save it? You want me to throw it out?
Tell me what it's for.
Pan-seared salmon.
That's a good recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear it.
I'll make it quick. Had this the other night. You've heard me talk about my cast iron steak, not the one that I broil in the oven, but just the one that I cook in the cast iron skillet. Same concept, but do it with a nice salmon fillet. All right, get you a nice – and they say – all right, but salmon's there's some controversy about wild-caught versus farm-raised. Yeah.
We're all dying anyway. Yeah. Read the New York Times article about climate change that came out. We're all dying, so it doesn't matter. We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah.
But it's like what scary fucking shit before you get into the salmon.
Uh-huh.
It's about how when the ice caps melt, like there's diseases. Not only is there so much carbon dioxide trapped in the ice that it'll be released into the – atmosphere and regular, but also that there could be Paleolithic diseases.
Oh, wow.
Like diseases that human beings have never even had to encounter.
So they're going to thaw out. That can
thaw out and reanimate, and we're fucked.
Whoa.
Anyway, pan-seared salmon. Sounds delicious. What better time to have a delicious meal than the end of the world?
So it's up to you whether you want to get the wild-caught or the farm-raised. I won't go into all that. But get you a nice salmon fillet. Pat it off with some paper towels.
Every time I think of a salmon farm, I just think of their little head sticking out of the dirt. It doesn't make sense. Salmon farm, soup plantation. What the shit is this, man? Goddamn world we living in.
All right, we're going to cook it the same way I cook a steak if I'm not doing the broil method, if I'm just doing it in the cast iron skillet on the stovetop. Get you a nice salmon fillet, pat it dry, get some of that moisture out with some paper towels, liberally coat it with some kosher salt and black pepper.
Solipsistically.
A lot of kosher salt, a lot of black pepper. Get that cast iron skillet. If you don't have a cast iron skillet, you can just regular frying pan's fine. Medium heat. All right, don't put no oil. No oil. This is my
oil on a skillet?
Not yet.
Skin down?
No, skin up on this one. All right. No oil, no nothing. Medium heat. Get it real hot. Let that pan sit on there, that medium heat, for about 4 to 5 minutes before you put the fish in there. Throw that sucker on there, skin up, and just let that shit sear for about 4 minutes.
Meat side down. On a bare pan?
Bare pan.
Is that going to peel off on you?
A little bit.
It's a flaky fish.
A little bit. But
It's a flaky ass fish, dog.
I'm willing to sacrifice it. All right. 4 or 5 minutes on medium heat. Throw it down there. Then when you flip that, don't move it. Don't be flipping. Only flip it once. All right. We've talked about that as far as a steak or any piece of meat. Just flip it once. Cook it halfway on one side. Flip it once. Cook it the other half on the other side. Big deal. All right. When you flip it, then you throw in a hunk of butter. All right. Get that butter going in there on that. Once you flip it. And by the way, with the salmon, a lot of times you're going to have it. It's going to be tapered because obviously the fillet comes from the actual salmon itself. So from front to back, from the head backwards, it's going to go thick to thin. So like the tail, the last part, the rear part of the salmon is going to be thinner. So if you've got a piece that's like that, make sure the thin side is on the outside of the pan, where the thick side is kind of in the center of the pan.
By the heat.
Yeah. So you want that thin side placed on the outside. Flip that shit. Throw in a big old knob of butter. All right? Let that butter get all up in there.
What is technically a knob?
A knob's just a hunk.
That didn't answer that question.
Knob and a hunk are about the same thing. Four to 5 minutes on the other side. And about halfway through that second side, start basting that butter back onto the salmon. Tilt the pan inward, get you a nice big spoon, and spoon that butter on top of that salmon. Get it all buttery. So 4 or 5 minutes on one side, 4 or 5 minutes on the other side, and just flip it once. And what we're looking for, and just a bunch of butter. The more butter, the better. And baste that shit. And if you want to do – what you're looking for, too, is with a salmon, you can see, and you can kind of see it with a steak, but it's easier to see with a salmon. You can see actually the side of it cooking up. Like you can see where, like when you
get a gauge.
When you first put it in, that bottom side is going to be completely pink, but then you can see it start to kind of turn opaque. And once it rises to about halfway, that's when it's time to flip it. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty just logic based. And so get that, flip it. Add a bunch of butter. If you want to do a – if you got a meat thermometer, we're looking for about 140 degrees internal temperature. And, take that shit out. And then here's my little trick here. This is something I've been toying with. Get you a fruity-ass salad dressing, a fruity vinaigrette, like a mango vinaigrette or a lemon vinaigrette. Right. Get you a little saucepan and pour you, I don't know, ounce or two of that salad dressing. Don't do this with ranch or blue cheese, but it's got to be some sort of fruity vinaigrette.
Don't do blue cheese with your salmon?
No. I got a hold of a
slice of cheddar over the top of that?
I got a mango vinaigrette that's very nice. You could do lemon. You could do any type of citrusy vinaigrette. Get you a saucepan. Throw an ounce or two of that salad dressing in there. You're not cooking it. You just want to heat it up a little.
Match the temp of the
fish. Exactly. Sure. You don't want it cold. Just warm that up, and then when the salmon's done cooking, just spoon you some of that salad dressing on top while it rests for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And boom, there you go.
I love a citrus with some fish.
Salt, pepper, butter, and salad dressing. And 4 or 5 minutes on one side, 4 or 5 minutes on the other side. Boom, get you a nice piece of salmon.
You heard it, folks.
There you go.
You heard it here.
And it's good. Oh, man. Nice, good, a well-cooked piece of salmon.
The man in the van with a pan and a plan.
Good stuff. Love it.
All right.
All right.
Nice piece of fish.
Nice piece of fish. What's that's a – you wouldn't know this because you don't ever watch it, but that's a nice Curb quote.
What?
When Larry and his wife, they're going to some birthday party, and she's trying to go get a nice $300 bottle of wine. He goes, let's just get him a nice piece of fish. He wanted to just bring
his wife isn't. Who's Kathy? No, it's not.
What's her name? Cheryl Hines.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because God damn it.
Susie Essman,
who's on Those Who Can. Susie Essman is fucking awesome.
She is great in Curb, and I know she's on Those Who Can.
And she is just the coolest lady to hang out with. Like, you're on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Now you're on this little show we're doing on True TV, but she's the best. Hangs out with everybody.
Really? She's cool?
Cool as shit.
That's
man.
Good.
Like such a rad lady. Zero ego.
Oh, man.
Like, just talks about, like, hey, you're on the road? How was it? Yeah, I did some theater. Like, just talks about doing stand-up on a road. Like, talks about everybody. Like, just a what a great lady, Susie Essman.
One of her old-ass specials is on HBO Go.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you can see a Susie Essman stand-up
Maybe
special.
That's what I'm doing with a Saturday
on
night
HBO
at home.
Go. And, oh, man, you would love her character on Curb. She plays Larry's best friend and manager is Jeff Garland.
Another guy
she
who...
She plays his wife.
Who's an extreme character when you see him in stand-up, but also a very nice man when I've seen him. I don't know him from anything. And he's like, hi, Kyle. Yeah, how's it going? He's just always frothy.
But Susie's character, she hates Larry. So she's always just, you far-right fuck! Fuck you, Larry! She's always just screaming
at Larry.
She's
also like that in real life.
You piece of shit!
She'll still call you that in real life. And I was like, oh, God, I'm so flattered.
She calls Jeff's character her husband, you fat fucking piece of shit! Eat some more ice cream, you fat fuck! Oh, she's great.
Susie Essman's the best.
Oh, man. All right,
let's put a comic in a week out. This is a good... You got an hour and a half on this episode.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't even make one next week. Fuck you guys.
No, Kyle.
Don't do that?
No, just comment.
No? Just an hour of puss videos for him?
Fuck you guys. Comic of the week. Did you start with this guy? Did y'all know each other in Chicago? Michael Connell.
Michael Connell was... When I started in Chicago...
Uh-huh.
No matter... Time of year in Chicago, shorts and a Hawaiian shirt.
Really?
Shorts pulled down to see a tuft.
Ooh.
A tuft.
That's an interesting look.
Of Nordic blonde pubic hair. Flip-flops and a tuft of pubic hair.
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah, and it was always like, what is... Like, even in stand-up, when you're like, what is going on here? Like, I was new, and I was like, who's... It was... Not to make this about me, but like the world of stand-up, like when I started in Chicago, it wasn't just I wrote jokes in a notebook and we'll go try them on stage. It was this collection of people that didn't have a home in the poetry scene, or there was writers, or there was actors, and it was like the only place they had to do it was the stand-up shows. And so Mike was a musician, but then his lyrics were like, could be hauntingly poetic, but he would also sit there with his pubic hair hanging out of the top of his pants. And one of my favorite, he's like, I've got a photographic memory, but it only takes pictures of tits and gin. And he can growl like in a death metal voice.
Yeah.
People know him from him and Ken Jeong video, What's It Gonna Be? It was
yes.
A viral hit when those were a thing.
Look that up.
A couple years ago, and he's popped up here and there. He wrote a movie. What was it?
Also look up Michael Connell, Asian Baby.
Oh.
I believe there's a video for that.
He wrote and starred in a movie called The Living Wake with the dude who's from super famous guy now.
Oh, him?
God damn it.
Which super famous guy? Where would we know him from? Not Ken Jeong.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But and he wrote this movie, and it's from a standpoint of a guy who's got a diagnosis, an eccentric asshole. Like, he lives in a small town, and nobody likes him, but he's been told he's going to die, so he goes around having a wake for himself.
Wow.
And it's very in tune with exactly what his voice is.
Quick side note, anybody who listens to S-Town podcast, tell me that's not Jesse Eisenberg's voice narrating. Sounds just like him.
Narrating it?
Yeah, the guy who narrates
S-Town. Well, I never thought about
that. Sounds just like Jesse Eisenberg. Just that over-enunciated, very proper, just kind of nerdy.
You didn't put James Fritz in the main character's role?
I've had some people say that it sounds like one of my stand-up bits.
Yeah, if you put a little effeminate turn on it.
But anyway, yeah, Michael Connell, Look up what's it going to be on YouTube.
He has serious music out there too, and his lyrics are haunting and beautiful. One of the songs he has about like having his heart replaced with a baboon heart.
Yeah,
but then so if it's addressed to a woman who dumps him, and it's about how you're not breaking his heart, you're breaking that baboon's heart. So fuck you.
That can be found on his 2007 album Unemployable. Mm-hmm. So he's got a lot of albums. Some of them, like you said, are legit serious music. Unemployable is his comedic twist.
Yeah, and he's a wonderful writer and songwriter and performer
and a powerful speaker. When he does his stand up sets and you know the banter in between songs, he's got a great powerful.
It's theatrical,
voice. Very theatrical. Yes. Yeah, just he commands a room.
And look at his full head of blonde hair and just understand the kind of thick, strong pubes that would come out of the top of some cargo shorts in 2001 in a bar in the middle of winter in Chicago.
Oh, boy. Very He's funny,
captivating
dude.
Captivating individual.
Did he co-create some sitcom with him and Ken Jeong?
Well, I know Dr. Ken is Ken Jeong's. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about that stuff.
I do think he has a part. I think he does something with that.
He might show up in. I don't know.
I heard he co-created that. So anyway,
well, all right then,
Dr. Ken.
Well, good for him.
But yeah, Michael Connell, comic of the week. Just a kind of a mad genius. Just absolutely hilarious. So look up his stuff on YouTube. He's got like you said, some regular albums, some comedy albums. But check him out, Michael Connell, comic of the week. That's it, buddy. Anything to plug?
Well, it's coming out on Tuesday.
You got a show tonight. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll be at the Lyric Hyperion.
Yeah.
Small, tiny theater, dusting off my hour before I go to Europe this weekend.
Nice.
And I don't think anybody listens in Europe. So you have real folklore. What are you going to listen to us assholes?
That's true.
Talk about what we're talking about. That's Without true. Me, I'll be over there.
That's cool.
England, Germany. Amsterdam.
Wow.
Ireland.
Take some pictures.
Yeah, I'd take a couple. I don't do that. I'm like, I know where I've been. I look up where I've been, and then I look up good pictures of where I've been. I'm like, yeah, that's how it looked.
I like it when you take pictures of monotonous stuff, just like the floor of your hotel.
I just do, or I'll just screenshot the map. I'm here. That's my way more in all right.
I don't hit you over the head with this stuff, but if you enjoyed the podcast, give us a nice rating and review on iTunes. That helps us.
You just got an hour and 40 minutes of fucking material, you jagoffs.
Just relaxed.
Too much?
Yeah. Don't be abusive.
We've got 2 hours. I would split it in half. Don't wait till next week, assholes.
Oh, yeah. Ratings and review on iTunes would really help us. And, holler at your boys. Boogie Monster Pod on Twitter and all that other stuff.
Holler at your boys.
Bye-bye.
The Boogie Monster.